Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for coming to church this weekend. Great to have you. Yeah, let's give it up for Jesus. And can we do that one more time together? Come on, let's put our hands together. And it's amazing. Love that. Glad you're here. If you are joining us for the first time, a big welcome. We are in week three of a series called Idols, as you heard, all about what happens when good things in our lives turn bad. So when we get too attached to, obsessed with, or dependent on certain people, priorities, or possessions. And it's been a challenging series so far, but encouraging. If you missed weeks one and two, encourage you to go to our YouTube channel this week and get caught up to speed. The way we grow spiritually here on the weekend is through series. Each week kind of builds on the one before it and leads into the one after that. So encourage you to get caught up. And this weekend is also the soft launch of our new Middletown location, which means that our launch team is in Middletown right now at Middletown High School, getting ready for next Sunday. We're very excited about that. And next Sunday as well at our Hokesson location, we are adding a second gathering, which I'm excited about. So good things are happening. And then, yeah, just it's a great season of growth. And a lot of you are just setting the stage for it, the people that you're inviting, and they're coming, and we're working at some of our locations to have parking spots for them and all of that. And then last but not least, as you heard, this is Connect Weekend, which means you have an opportunity to find your people and get connected this fall, get in a J group, and really encourage you to take that step. And as you heard, it can be a life-changing decision. I will tell you, it's not always right away a life-changing decision. Sometimes it takes some time to find the right group, find the right people, and to kind of open yourself up, but it really can make a big difference. So as we jump into week three of the series, I have kind of a mixed relationship with mirrors. Anybody else? I don't always like what I see when I look in the mirror. I have days when I would rather just not see what's in the mirror. Other days, I overthink what's in the mirror. I've had some moments in my life, not very many, but had some moments when I've been walking by a mirror and I was like, man, you are rocking the shirt game today, Johnston. You are just pulling it off. It's happening. And then I have other days that I really don't care that much. I may even forget to look in a mirror at all. And honestly, those are some of my best days when I just don't worry about it and just live my life. But I wonder, what did we do before mirrors? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, what did people do? I guess we just walked around all day with stuff stuck in our teeth and our hair messed up and stains on our shirts and didn't care. We were just living life. And whatever you believe about God or spiritual things, here's the question this weekend. Is it possible to get too focused on the mirror? Is it possible to just get too focused on looking in the mirror? And I'm not just speaking of physical mirrors, but I think many of us, myself included, many times in my life, we focus a lot on ourselves, right? When we're having a hard day, when we're ticked off or nervous or hungry or tired, or when we just went through a breakup or got bad news, or we're struggling financially or emotionally or with our health, or, well, you can tell the list is pretty long. The moments when we tend to focus on ourselves, it's a long list. So why is it that with all of this looking at and looking out for ourselves all the time, why do we often still find ourselves so dissatisfied with our own lives, frustrated by the people around us, and then disconnected from the world around us? Is it possible that sometimes we cross a line and we may not even be aware of it? We would never use this language to describe it, but sometimes we cross a line into not just working on ourselves, not just paying attention to ourselves, but actually worshiping ourselves. And if so, is it possible that that just doesn't work, that we make lousy gods? Is it possible that that's the case? So in the New Testament of the Bible, there's a letter. It's one of my favorite books of the New Testament. I go back to it again and again. It's a letter called Philippians, written to a church community that in some ways was like ours. Different time, different context, but there are some similarities. For a lot of people in this church, the idea of following Jesus was new to them, and that may be true for many of us. Or the idea of fully following Jesus, of their faith not just being a box they checked or a religion they considered themselves a part of, but being something that they were very committed to. This was a new idea. And a guy named Paul writes to this church in a city called Philippi, and he writes to them about opening their eyes to what's beyond themselves. Here's what he says. He asks these questions. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? In other words, if you know Jesus, is that an encouraging thing? Is there any comfort from his love? Is there any fellowship together in the Spirit? Any closeness, any connection that comes from having the Spirit of God at work in your life? Are you noticing, Paul says, that it's making you more connected to each other? And if you're new to the Bible, these are intended to be rhetorical questions. So Paul believes the answer to all of them is, or at least should be, a resounding yes. And for many of the people around you right now, and if you're watching online, for many of the people who have come to be a part of this community of faith, this is what drew us to church. We were looking for encouragement. We were looking for comfort. We were looking for connection, and we weren't finding it in the way that we'd been living. But we did find it, and we continue to find it in following Jesus. We found Jesus, and then we found our people. We found some people to do life with. We found a community of faith to be a part of, and then hopefully a smaller group of people to do life with. And then for some of us, it actually went the opposite way. We found some people that didn't give up on us, and we were drawn to the faith that they had. And then eventually through our relationships with those people, we found Jesus, and our lives begin to change. So Paul is basically asking the people in this church in Philippi, is all of that still real for you? He's kind of trying to really push a little bit on their faith and say, is this still the case? You came to Jesus because you were looking for encouragement, comfort, connection. Are you still finding it? Is it still a priority to you? And if so, he asks this question. Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Now, I know for many of us, we may not have woken up this morning, looked in the mirror, and thought, let's go today, tender and compassionate. You know, especially some of us guys, we probably did not think, okay, you know what I need to do to own this day? Be tender. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna be so tender. We're not watching our favorite team and going, come on guys, be more tender. Let's have compassion for the win. You know, that's not what's going through our minds. But have you ever tenderized a tough cut of steak? Anybody ever done this? You get a mallet and you pound all over that steak until it's tender. It's kind of counterintuitive. You would think that pounding on the steak would make it tougher, but actually somehow it breaks down the fibers in that steak and makes the steak tender. The process is intense, but the results are worth it. Paul was not a guy that people would have referred to as tender and compassionate before he found Jesus. But God grabbed the mallet and pounded some things out of Paul. You can read about this in the New Testament. It was not all easy for him. God pounded Paul's ego out of him, pounded his pride out of him, and then pounded other things into Paul, like kindness, grace, and an awareness of the needs of other people. And God wants to do the same thing in our lives. God wants to pound some things out of us. Say, I'm not really comfortable with God pounding things out of me. But he does. He does. If we'll allow him to, he will pound some things out of our lives, and then he'll pound other good things into our lives. So the question is, for all of us who are following Jesus, whether we're brand new to this, been following him for a while now, are our hearts becoming increasingly tender and compassionate? You know, some people kind of come into Christianity, and I don't know the Jesus they found, but they do not become more tender and compassionate. They become something else entirely. But Paul says, if you're following Jesus, then your hearts should become more tender and more compassionate. And if you would say, like I would, that our heart, I would say my heart is not yet as tender and compassionate as it needs to be. Would anybody else, just by a show of hands, say, if you are with somebody that you know well, would you lift your hand and just point at them? If you'd say their heart is not as tender and compassionate as it needs to be. And for all of us that would be honest and say that, it might explain why God's not finished pounding yet, why the mallet of our circumstances continues to pound away at us right now. And I'm not even saying God causes all of those things, but He is eager to work through even the most difficult circumstances if the end result will be a more tender and compassionate heart. And so he pounds away, and the goal is not to make us miserable. The goal is to make us tender and compassionate. And so Paul says, are your hearts tender and compassionate? And then next he writes this, make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and one purpose. Now, for some of us right now, we might think to ourselves, okay, must be that, you know, when the Bible was written, when Paul was writing, all these people must have had a lot in common, and that's why they could agree so much and they could just get along so well. Nothing could be further from the truth. In this church, there were people from all kinds of different backgrounds and all different upbringings and perspectives and opinions. And yet Paul says, I want you to make me happy. And he's not just saying like, make me happy. He's saying, I'm following Jesus and Jesus is giving me something to say to you. So make me happy by following what Jesus says. Agree wholeheartedly with each other. Love one another. Work together with one mind and purpose. Can you imagine what your family would be like if this was the way things worked, if you all agreed wholeheartedly with each other? Come on, how many of us would be very excited about this? If you loved one another, if you worked together with one mind and purpose, we got dishes to do, we're gonna work together, baby. Unity in this house, we're ready. Come on, let's take out the trash. I'll take it out, you grab the bag, wouldn't that be amazing? How about your department at work? I mean, if everybody was like, hey, can we just, let's agree, let's love, let's work together. How many of us would tear up your resume right now? You would just be like, I found my place to work forever. Never leaving here. How about your classes at school? How about your neighborhood? This would be amazing. Here's what God knows about us. Agreeing, loving, and working together is impossible when we're staring in the mirror all the time. And by the way, when Paul talks about agreeing together, he has already set the stage regarding what to agree about. He's not saying agree about everything. He's saying agree about who Jesus is and what Jesus desires. Agree about what God's word teaches. Agree about the fact that Jesus is leader and Lord. And God knows that it is so difficult to agree around Jesus and to love one another well and to work together with one mind and purpose when we are just busy staring. Oh, got a little hair out of place right there, staring. Oh, it's worse now. I don't know what to do. It's kind of the problem when you look in the mirror all the time. It just gets worse, not better. God knows when we're preoccupied with the mirror, we can't do what God's word teaches here. So what does God do? He takes us on a spiritual journey. And it starts actually with looking in the mirror. And we see who we really are. And how much we actually need God. And then we begin to look away from the mirror and we look to Jesus, because fundamental, this is basic to having a relationship with God. Listen, you are going to have to admit that you can't fix yourself. I cannot save myself. So I start by looking in the mirror and going, okay, I can't fix that. Which I've had some days, by the way, when I've thought exactly that. Can't fix that. I cannot fix that. But we start, spiritually speaking, looking in the mirror saying, okay, I cannot fix that. I cannot save me. We look away from the mirror. We see Jesus clearly. And now we can look around and see the people around us more clearly. And so God takes us on a spiritual journey. We begin to gather like this and we agree wholeheartedly that Jesus is Lord. Whatever else we may disagree about, we agree together that he is Lord. We connect together. That's what J groups are all about here. We do life with people going the same direction spiritually, so that we can show love to one another. Not gushy, artificial, make it up kind of love. Real, practical, down to earth love. I'm gonna put your concerns above my own. I'm gonna show love to you. And then we serve each other. That's what the J team is all about. With one mind and one purpose, we are working together to see God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we're committed to this. And by the way, we need all three of those environments to grow spiritually. We can't pick and choose. We need all three. We need to be gathering with other believers. We need to be connected with people going the same direction spiritually. We need to find a way to use our gifts to serve. But you know what constantly tries to get in the way of that spiritual journey? An idol. And it's the idol of self is the idol we see every day when we look in the mirror, the idol of self, which is why Paul writes, you're going to love this. If you're taking notes, you're going to want to write this down. This is how to fix all of our problems. Are you ready? Here it is. It'll fix everything. Don't be selfish. God, thank you for this weekend. We just pray that you'll go with us. Don't be selfish. Some of us are going, you mean the people around me should stop being so selfish? No. The people you and I see when we look in the mirror must stop being so selfish. And this is difficult because we feel a pressure to look out for ourselves, right? We think, if I don't take care of me, who will? Some of us even say stuff like that. Like, I gotta take care of me. I gotta take care of me. We even have me time. I need some me time. I gotta have some me time. It's like the time is very small font. The me is gigantic. I got many me time. And we may mean deep down, hey, I need some time to recharge so that I can come back into relationship and be better. And that's a very valid thing. I need that all day long. Jesus actually needed that. He went away alone to be with the Father. But the point was never, I need to be alone because these people are driving me crazy and I just need time for me. No, the point of being alone with the Father is so that when he came back in his humanity, he was supercharged with tenderness and compassion and love so that he could be together again. So for so many of us, we need to receive this word. I do today that here's what God's word is saying. We're saying, I got to look out for myself. And God is saying, that doesn't work over the long haul. That's actually the worst approach to your life. If you want to be close to me, God says, and you want me to be close to you, if you want to have healthy relationships with other people, selfishness does not work long term. You say it's working. Yeah, it's working now. But it does not work long term in our friendships, in our families, in our marriages, in our businesses. So the spiritual journey that God wants to take us on actually means letting go of self, not holding on to self. Jesus said it this way. He said, if you cling to your life, me, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, not just give up your life, but give it up for me, then you will actually find it. You will find your real life. So first, we look away from the mirror and we begin to see Jesus for who he really is. And for some of us, that's the next step. Some of us have been staring in the mirror for a long time, hoping to find our own solutions to our problems and the solution to our emptiness, but it's not there. And the longer we look in the mirror, the emptier we become. We make lousy gods. We're just not worthy to be worshiped. Some of us are like, you don't know me, man. You should see the trophies I have from high school. We're not worthy to be worshiped. Does not mean we're not worthy. We are actually made worthy by Jesus. But we are not worthy to be worshiped. And when we look away from the mirror and find Jesus, then we can start to live like this. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. In other words, look away from the mirror and notice who else is here. That's how we live out our faith. We begin following Jesus and we become aware. We look around and suddenly realize, there are other people. Our families and our friends and our community of faith and people who don't know Jesus. And so many of you are living this out here. It blows me away. Honestly, the way you live out your faith is so challenging and encouraging to me. It challenges me because so many of you are doing this. You're leading groups, you're leading teams at Newark. When you come on Sunday, you ride a shuttle so that people who are searching spiritually can find a parking spot. You're taking an interest in others too. At Hokesson, now at Middletown, set up and tear down every weekend so that people can experience God. People's lives are being changed. And what are you doing when you serve that way? You are looking away from the mirror and you're noticing who else is here. Some of us have lived very selfish lives for a long time. And when we find Jesus, we don't just find a better life for us. We begin living a better life for others. We begin looking around and noticing, oh, apparently it is not all about me. For years, come on, honestly, some of you, wouldn't you say before you found Jesus, for years you thought you were the center of the universe. You were like, I don't understand why the planets are not orbiting me effectively right now. I'm everything. And then you found Jesus and you were humbled. That's what happened to me. I was humbled and I realized how much I needed God. And then I began to realize how much the world around me needed the God who had started to live inside of me. And I became aware of the people around me. We begin noticing who else is here. And it matters because when we worship the idol of self, that's when we end up dissatisfied with ourselves, frustrated by others, and disconnected from the world around us. But when we begin to look to Jesus, we find that he is enough for us. And now we can begin to connect with the people around us. Looking in the mirror all the time, not to work on ourselves, but to worship ourselves, is really serving an idol. We begin to obsess over what's best for us, our needs, our ambitions, our desires, our preferences, and eventually that self-obsession sucks the life out of our connection with God, and it begins to suck the health out of our connections with others. But the reality is there's a better way to live our lives, and that is in our community of faith. That's what J groups help us do. They help us look away from the mirror. When you show up to a group, it's not to impress anybody or to pretend to be something that you're not. It's to take an interest in other people too. That's why we show up, not just to get something for ourselves. Although it's amazing how we receive exactly what we need when we stop obsessing over it. Have you noticed? But we show up to take an interest in other people too. And for all of us who consider ourselves followers of Jesus, so if you're here today and you say, I don't know if I buy into the Jesus thing, I'm just not there yet. Everything I've described so far is just a better way to live. But for all of us who believe in Jesus, there's another level. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. That's a little intimidating. How many of us, our parents said anything to us when we were kids, maybe for some of us it's happened recently, but how many of our parents said something like, why can't you be more like, right? So here God says, hey, come on guys, why can't you be more like Jesus, Son of God and Savior of the world? A little intimidating, right? How many of us, just by a quick show of hands, if you're in the room today, would say, I feel like I've kind of arrived at that. Just like Jesus, I'm good. So we're living out part of these verses already. Because we know, and we're not. It's intimidating. And yet, this is exactly the solution to a disconnected, dissatisfied life. It's not to spend more time looking in the mirror. It's to look to Jesus. And when you look to Jesus, here's what you find out about him, that though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Remember, Jesus said, if you cling to your life, you'll lose it. But instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. If anybody could have spent his life looking in the mirror, it was Jesus. But he didn't. He gave up his privileges. He humbled himself and he died for us. And this is the attitude Jesus had. Look away from the mirror and notice who else is here. That was his attitude. And if the message of Jesus is new to you, this is what followers of Jesus believe, that he was God who became a human being. And he lived here among us, and then he died to pay for the forgiveness of our sins, to write off the debt that we owed God, the God who created us. Gave his life for us, and all of us who believe in him, we are called to have that same attitude. We don't always perfectly reflect those same actions. We're a work in progress, but we are called to continually, day after day, and sometimes, if you're like me, multiple times a day, go back to this attitude that Jesus had, to be secure enough in what Jesus did for us and who he is to us, to give up our privileges and our preferences, to humble ourselves and to notice the people around us. Because of what Jesus has done for us, we are called to be connected to the people Jesus puts around us. And when you find Jesus, you see that you're forgiven and you're free and you're taken care of. And now you can look away from the mirror. Because if you were honest, it's exhausting obsessing over yourself all the time. Isn't it wearing you out a little bit? To always be concerned about how you're being perceived and that you're getting what you need and what you want. Examining every time someone offends you, every little slight. So obsessed with yourself, you must be exhausted. Stop clinging to your life. Let go of it, and you'll find a better life. And a great way to live that out is being in a J group. It's just a simple rhythm of, oh yeah, it's not just about me. Oh yeah, I need other people around me too. So this is Connect Weekend, and the idea is simple. Ready? A spiritual journey is not just between you and you. And it's not even just between you and God. It's between you and God, but it is lived out with others. J groups are not perfect. That's not the point. And the first one you try might not be the right one. And you might have to try a couple until you find the right J group for you. And you might have to put up with some people around you that are not wired the same way that you are. And there might be times when it's like, okay, you don't think like I think. And you weren't raised the way I was raised. And you don't look like I look. And it's uncomfortable. And you know what that is? It's a mallet tenderizing the steak of our lives. It's God saying, I'm trying to put tenderness and compassion in you, not so that you'll end up compromising the foundation of your faith, but that you can end up living like Jesus did in this world and being connected to the people around you, because we all need a space where people going the same direction we are spiritually help our hearts get tenderized. And I know for some of you today, you're going, yeah, but that's great. I mean, that's fantastic. But what's in it for me? And actually, there is an answer. You're saying, I'm scared to look away from the mirror because all I've ever known is I got to take care of me. I got to look out for me. Nobody else will. So if I stop looking in the mirror, who's going to take care of me? You must have the same attitude Jesus had. Jesus gave up his privileges, humbled himself, and gave away his life. And therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor. Isn't that interesting? That the very thing you crave when you stare in the mirror is what God will give you when you look away. You're looking for fulfillment. You're looking for meaning. You're looking for self-respect. You're looking for a life that you can be proud of, a life that you know matters. And you keep looking in the mirror. And God says, the moment you start to look away is the moment I can actually build that life for you. And I can work in you and I can elevate you, not in ways that this world considers elevation, but I can elevate you in the ways that really matter. And it happens as you look away from the mirror and start to notice who else is here. So sign up for a J group this weekend. Get connected this fall, wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Look around this week at work or school or in your neighborhood and notice the people who don't know Jesus yet. Invest in a friendship. Invite them to experience God with you. Look away from the mirror and notice who else is here. And God will do a work in your life that you can never accomplish crossing that line into worshiping yourself. And if you receive that today, week 3 of the series, if you would say, I'm going to receive that as a word for me today, would you shoot your hand up all over the room? Just hold it up high. Online, you can do that as well. Hold that hand up high wherever you are. And then open your heart up to God with me. Let me pray it over us. Father, God, our King, we come to you. God, in this moment, we are struck by the reminder and the realization that we're nothing without you. So we look away. We look away from our successes and our failures. We look away from what we're cocky about and what we're insecure about. We look away from what we're hopeful for and worried about, and we look to you. And Jesus, then we look through the filter of you and what you've done for us at the people around us. We're gonna look away from the mirror this fall and notice who else is in our lives. Give us the courage to do it, we pray. And as we lay selfishness aside, God, elevate us in the ways that you have planned elevate our relationships, elevate our emotional health, elevate our lives in every respect that you have planned for us. And we believe you for it in Jesus' name. And while you let God tenderize your heart a little bit more over the next couple of minutes, for some of you today, listen, the more you have tried to fix yourself, the more dissatisfied you've become and the more incomplete you felt. And the reason, Jesus would say, is that the real problem is that all of us are disconnected from God. We're not just disconnected from ourselves or disconnected from others. We are disconnected from God. And that is the problem Jesus came to solve. And the truth is, you don't have to be disconnected from God anymore. When you put your faith in Jesus, who died to forgive your sins and rose again and wants to give you new life, you can begin to live in a new way and you can know God in a real way. And if you want that today, if you don't know Jesus yet, but you want that to change today, I'm gonna lead us in prayer again, and this is your opportunity, this is your moment to say yes to following Jesus. So I want everyone to join me again, open your heart up to God one more time, and if that's you in the room, online, and you're taking that step to put your faith in Jesus today, whisper out a prayer of faith, something like this: Jesus, today I give up my life to you. Clinging to it isn't working, so I surrender to you. I believe you died for me, and I want to follow you. Change my life today, I pray. And if that's you, while everyone around you stays focused on God, if you would say, I want to be included in that prayer, I'm putting my faith in Jesus, would you lift your hand, just hold it up high here in the room? Yeah, boldly, I'm putting my faith in Jesus, yes. It's amazing. Online, you can type the word faith in the comments, whatever platform you're on. And then, Journey, would you help me together? Let's give Jesus our praise and honor.